Coming up next is Kristen Fontana's Guiding Stars, Evolutionary Astrology, here on HealthyLife.net Radio. Broadcasting from Manhattan Beach and the World Wide Web, you're listening to CHSR, HealthyLife.net.
As a service to our listeners, this program is for general information and entertainment purposes only. CHSRHealthyLife.net does not recommend, endorse, or object to the views, products, or topics expressed or discussed by show hosts or their guests. We suggest you always consult with your own personal, medical, financial, or legal advisor.
Welcome. You're listening to Guiding Stars Evolutionary Astrology Radio. This is your host, Kristen Fontana. I'm here with Rose Marcus from Vancouver, Canada, and we are gathering together today to discuss the transits coming in the next month as we are now in the sign of Leo, and we will be discussing the end of July and August and what awaits for us all. Welcome back, Rose.
Thank you, Kristen.
Anything you would like to announce before we jump in?
Oh, no, just carrying on just like everyone else is.
It's so true.
Yeah.
All right. Well, we are recording this on actually the second day of Leo. And so it's a short pre-record before the day this gets released, but we will cover some of these days in July as we've entered a new sign, but also, gosh, a lot of fast-moving energy, like spikes and dips, and that's what I'm seeing at least in the next week or 10 days. And Mercury just came back to sextile Uranus and moving forward, clearing its shadow, and I feel that is an energy of breaking through into something new. I'm hoping that means I've been hearing word of potential, well, new tests with shorter turnaround times for COVID and vaccines for those of you that are on board for that. Some people don't want to even go there. But anyway, that's what I'm experiencing, at least in some of the word that I'm getting. I don't know about you, Rose, but
yeah, there have been a lot of reports of some positive research being done for the COVID vaccination, and that is absolutely wonderful. You know, we've just come out of fairly recently the Venus retrograde cycle, and Venus is continuing in the sign of Gemini until August 7th. And it's just coming up now to surpassing the degree that it turned retrograde at back there in May. Where are we at right now? That'll be like the 28th, 29th of July. And so that kind of completes the cycle. And as Venus is in the sign of Gemini, and moving towards the end of the month and finishing off in its cycle, it is aligning with the North Node, right? The North Node, the karmic axis, sitting at 28 degrees of Gemini. So as we come up now, that kind of makes sense, for Gemini is an archetype of doing some research, and we have this kind of moving forward. So With vaccinations and the research and so on, we still have a long way to go, right?
Yeah.
So no overnight anything, but good to hear of some progress. And I guess that's the point. I was just thinking this morning, Kristen, about how intense everything is and just how we're kind of on this sped-up process, and yet things are going as slow as molasses, too. And there's all these kind of multi-dimensions out there. So even when you don't think that you are moving forward or don't think that there's any doorway or portal or opening for you, we're in the middle of a very deep and very important process in each one of us in our own individual lives, and then what's happening out there in the world, and as humanity, at all the various levels, we are in the thick of it right now, and we are making progress. Even if you can't see it right now, you have to know that it's there, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. And one example of this would be this, I think it's a not a study, but a where at Harvard they're doing, I guess it is a case study to test this new vaccine, but it's something like 3,000 people, a volunteer, I'm going to read, volunteer for that. And they, so they volunteer, obviously, to, because they have to get some numbers in terms of, you know, obviously they expose them to the virus, right? Well, they take, give them the vaccine and then expose them to the virus, and then they have to see kind of the long-term results. And so, like you said, there are things going on. I mean, people that volunteer, you know, so I think they pay them to volunteer, but that feels kind of risky, but someone's got to do it, right?
Right, yeah, yeah, and I just think that, yeah, risk is definitely in the mix. And I don't even know how they do these trials sometimes. I don't know that they put it out there at the kind of level that they are right now. I think they're accelerating, you know, in terms of having those volunteers on board, maybe opening it up right now where they might have more stringent criteria at some other point in time. I think that they are accelerating as much as they can so that we can get on it faster.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah, so we're on the 23rd of July right now, and on the 27th, next Monday, Venus will surpass Neptune by dynamic tension or by square aspect. And also on that day, we've got Mercury, Mars in square as well, too. So just to kind of finish off the month of July, you know, that Venus, Neptune square, it is exposing and revealing, you know. So whatever it is that you don't really know right now, progressively, well, as we come up to that full moon next month in August, you know, if you don't know something right now, have a little patience, keep doing whatever it is that you're doing, because you're going to find out about it soon enough, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So if you're in a quandary and if you can't figure things out, and oh my gosh, this week, I don't know whether you felt it, but I really felt the air out of the tire. Did you feel that kind of energy? Like, you know, that was Sun opposing Saturn at the beginning of the week. Just like, boom, you know.
Yeah.
That new moon, it was like, oh, gosh, can we just take
it? Right. That was big, for sure, just feeling the weight of it all. On a new moon, we want to feel lighthearted. And then we've got, it was like direct opposition. My energy definitely picked up yesterday. Although my Wednesday, I would say Tuesday, Wednesday, I could feel it kind of coming off that point. But
yeah, that's because the sun moved into Leo yesterday.
I guess. Being, yeah, we're fire signs, so, you know, a fit from a little sunshine in the ethers. But, yeah, that was felt in full and by a lot of people that I was speaking with as well. So now that it's kind of like my point, you know, and then everything seems to be changing fast. We have the new moon, and then we have the sun entering Leo, and that Uranus Mercury sextile allows us to be a little bit more objective, I think, and looking at our life and with a new lens, perhaps. And but then that Monday day that you just mentioned, I mean, that's some corner turning energy for sure. And
oosh, yeah.
Not easy. It doesn't feel like a light turn, I have to say.
Well, the moon will be in Scorpio on that day. It's the first quarter moon, and so first quarter moon is an action taking one, and you know, it can be a severing of ties, or you know, it definitely is moving forward. And we've got the moon opposition Uranus on that day. Mercury is square Mars. Venus is square Neptune, and you know, and the sun and moon are in their first quarter aspects. So definitely, that's going to have a bit of punch. And actually, Sunday as well too. The moon is squaring Saturn and Pluto on that day. So just over the, you know, we're on Thursday right now. You should be feeling some kind of intensity, or will be feeling some kind of intensity there Sunday, Monday for sure.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And boy, there's a lot going on out in the world there that is.
like that.
Whoosh, yes, absolutely. Well, those transits that we just mentioned, and moving towards the end of the month, Mercury will be opposing Neptune on the 30th. So we're finishing off the month, you know, with some dynamic energy. And I think I said this last month at our show. I said there's the beginning of the month, the end of the month, and the middle of the month, right? You know, and it's been like that. It's been one thing after another. So we just can't let up on the intensity dial. Certainly, you know, we've got all these planets retrograde in Capricorn, and we still feel the pressure of all of that, right? You know, because there's so much necessity and so much that has to shift and so much that has to shift now. You know, time is running out. You know, there's not too much margin for us to waste right here.
Gosh, you know, I am like the eternal optimist, I have to say, but I think the thing that kind of makes me hold my breath the most is just they just recently discovered the first methane gas released in the Arctic, and that's the big concern about our environment, right? As the ice melts and more viruses, bacteria are exposed that haven't been exposed on Earth, you know, forever. Not forever, but an enormously long time. And then the methane gas that gets released into the environment and just how it changes our atmosphere, changes our ability to protect ourselves. And it really just feels, like you said, a time when things just have to change, like we're coming up against a period of time astrologically as well when some metamorphic shifts have to happen. And we can't wait any longer, I think, is the message that you said. And with all the Pluto, Saturn, Jupiter retrograde in Capricorn and now Mars moving into a square to those points, as it will be retrograde in the fall or September through November, and coming forward again to square those points. And so, you know, I feel like 2020 is definitely going to be a year to remember. It's kind of like one of those points in history where, you know, everything happened in a way. Like, everything changed. Everything had to change. It was like a fulcrum in a way.
You know, yeah, that's a word there, fulcrum. You know, we're right at that point. You know, I watched a news report on the polar bears the other day, and it was tragic. Oh, my gosh. You know, they were saying that the whole polar bear could be extinct within about the next 80 years because it's just running out of food, right? You know, and so, you know, the climate change issue is, you know, yeah. let's not scare our scare our listeners today, but it is very essential. You know, it was interesting the last eclipse that we had. You know, it was an eclipse in Capricorn. And that eclipse in Capricorn, the moon in Capricorn, was the only Capricorn planet that we had that was in direct motion. You know, all the rest of the Capricorn planets are Saturn, Pluto, and Jupiter, and Pallas Athena are all in retrograde right now. That's kind of a statement here of, you know, when Capricorn is retrograde, you know, it is dismantling the system, dismantling the structure, dismantling the reality. You know, there's something here that's got to be recalibrated, you know, and to have one of the Capricorn planets going direct, and it's the moon. The moon deals with our kind of our collective consciousness. You know, it's again about the us factor, you know, the populace, right? You know, so this, in terms of the populace taking more control to try to create effective change regarding the system that's already in place, right? It's that kind of dynamic of it. And we have quite recently, started July, Mars has moved into Aries, right? And Mars is going to do a retrograde tour from the middle of September to the middle of November. We have right now Mars about to turn retrograde. We have Chiron turned retrograde in Aries last month. And we have Eris in retrograde right now. So we have all the Aries planets now turning retrograde as well too, right?
Eris,
Eris will go direct just after Mars turns retrograde. So Eris is going to be the only one of the Aries planets that's in direct motion. So again, there's this, I think this is really interesting. When all the planets in a sign are retrograded but one, it gives that one greater jurisdiction or, you know, greater momentum. And I see that as kind of a breakthrough. You know, it is the pen that writes, or the, you know, the agenda that is pushed forward, right? And Eris is the goddess of discord, right? I would call her a positive catalyst, the positive catalyst being that Eris doesn't let you forget about yourself. You know, I want, I desire. It's like, you know, I want something here, and I want something enough to push for it or to fight for it or to go for it. And I think that that's a statement for all of us right now. I think we're moving through the end of the year. This is kind of a whole pocket of time. And we're just setting up for that right now in July and August. As we move through the month of August, Mars is going to form a number of dynamic aspects with Pluto and Saturn. You know, this is going to be a push-through type of month. It's like whatever it is that might be restricting you, whatever pressure that you're under, whatever is limiting you, you know, whatever you're fighting up against, you know, it is a necessity for you to represent, right? It's a necessity for you to stand up and to do whatever you can in the moment with whatever it is you have to work with. No matter how challenged you are, no matter how depleted you are, no matter how depressed you are, no matter how you know, running on empty you are, there's always something that you can do. And at any given moment, anything could change. And here's the deal. You know, we've got this full moon happening in Aquarius coming up on August 3rd. We have Uranus turning retrograde in the middle of the month. The whole kind of jamming up against it is because we're so used to doing it the way we've always done it, right? And this whole time frame is forcing us to some innovation, to some shift that, you know, to try it a different way, to do it a different way. And it all starts with a consciousness, right? You know, even if your circumstances don't change, there's a different way that you can be with yourself, and that's where it starts.
Yes, that's true. I mean, that is absolutely what I feel so many of these retrogrades have been about anyway, and the forced pause, the forced slowdown, people getting off their treadmills, and they're left with to be with themselves more, not running off to the restaurant or whatever else it might be. And so, you know, there's an incredible amount of self-reflection that is not only about what do I want, it's what's best for my soul moving forward. What is it that I'm doing? How am I spending my time? Is it adding on to my growth in any way, or am I spinning my wheels? And so that does. All these retrogrades, my gosh, all the outer planets except for Uranus. We have Venus and Mercury also retrograde. Pretty soon Mars. I mean, just the whole solar system practically, it seems like. A lot of the asteroids as well. And so we, you know, it takes that step back to, I feel like, become better versions of ourselves. Do you know what I mean? It's like the part of the cardinal axis is with all the Capricorn energy and the Mars and Aries is about, you know, how we identify with who we are. Are we taking responsibility for what it is that we came here to do and to be? And that is our responsibility, to actualize what it was that we came here to do and to be. And then are we being true to that? And so I do feel that there's immense benefits to everything slowing down and downshifting, kicking it into reverse, whatever it might be. And I think that this year, the entirety of this year, it's almost impossible to gain any outer traction. And so, you know, in the world, because, you know, for people that are trying to go to work or go to college or what have you, so it requires you to find a way to experience more inner traction and understanding and laying down that foundation, making it stronger within yourself, because there's just things outside of yourself you cannot control, right? So what are the things you can control? How you spend your time within your own inner working reality. And that will make you stronger and less reactive, more responsive, more centered, more patient, and bringing more meaning to the moment with the people that you're with. So that's, you know, where the value, you know, really sits.
You know, absolutely. You know, you can be frustrated with this moment and frustrated with the limitations and so on, especially, you know, with the lockdown and the social isolation, and then, you know, you're stuck in the house with the kids or something, you know. And it's like after the fact, you know, you're gonna, the whole time that you, you know, if you're one of those kind of frustrated parents is saying, like, I can't stand this, I just have to get out of here, blah, you know. And after the fact, you're going to realize that you were elsewhere instead of where you were supposed to be at the moment. And what a loss that is when you come to that realization, right?
Mm-hmm.
So be here now. Be right where you are.
And
don't wish to be someplace else. Of course, you know, we're always looking at moving ahead. Yes, you know, you want to move ahead. But you also, too, want to be fully here right now so that you can really drink all of that in.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Indeed. All right, we will be back after the break with Rose Marcus.
Find out about Kristen Fontana and get your free weekly astrological forecast on her website, kristenfontana.com. Read articles written by the founder of evolutionary astrology, Jeffrey Wolf Green. Evolutionary astrology is a spiritual perspective astrology from Pluto's point of view, and what a view it is. You can even order a detailed personalized chart that tells you about your past, present, and future. You'll also discover where and when Kristen's upcoming conferences, workshops, and appearances will be on kristenfontana.com. That's K-R-I-S-T-I-N, Fontana.com.
HealthyLife.net, the positive radio network.
All right, we are back. I'm here with Rose Marcus. We are discussing the transits for end of July and August. And, yeah, it's just, it's a little pokey. It's a little intense. And we haven't even talked about the full moon yet on the 3rd, so I suppose that's next, right, Rose?
Yeah, absolutely. So we're finishing off the month of July with some strong aspects, so whatever is already on go is going to continue. And then coming up to the beginning of August, we start out on the 1st with Mercury opposing Pluto. Let me just give you this rundown. The 1st, we've got Mercury opposing Pluto. And on the 2nd, we've got the Sun, Uranus square. And on the 3rd is the full moon. And the full moon is an Aquarius full moon. And it is squaring Uranus, which is the ruler of Aquarius. And Uranus is in Taurus. So we've got the moon in Aquarius, the Sun in Leo, and Uranus in Taurus squaring it, right? And so it's essentially a Uranus-Uranus square, you know, for this full moon. And also on that day, Mercury and Saturn oppose. So we've got this run of the 1st, 2nd, 3rd, and then on the 4th, we've got Mercury leaving Cancer for Leo, and we have Mars and Jupiter in a square. So I think that August is going to hit the ground running. with that as well, too, see, that's the 3rd. By the 5th, Venus will be conjoined with the North Node, right? You know, so we've got quite a run of stars. And I was thinking about this, that Mercury-Pluto opposition, you know, it's kind of this voracious need to know and to get down to the bottom of it and to uncover the information and all that. You know, we have another scandal going on here in Canadian politics as well, too. You know, Trudeau's made another big misstep, and, you know, and that's just like, we've got to get to the bottom of it. You know, it's like that whole continuance of things. But we start with this Mercury-Pluto and for the full moon, and we end with Mercury-Saturn opposition, right? You know, so this is a whole switch pattern in a really intensified few days. So, Uranus is always, or Aquarius, a full moon in Aquarius is always good for something unexpected, right? You know, it's always good for a piece of enlightenment, whatever that might be, an aha, an in-the-know energy here. So, you know, I think that this transit, you know, definitely is going to bring something to light. Hopefully it's something to light that will be opportune for you or, you know, a positive, show you, again, as I say, an open door, a way of doing things. The moon to Uranus is in the sign of Taurus, and of course that is all about how, you know, how we were relating and evaluating, right? You know, so it's an evaluation process with Uranus on that north node. It is seeing an alternate path or a different way of doing things or a different way of piecing it together that might make more sense for you, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I think that there's great opportunity with this. You know, the sun, Uranus, that can be something instantaneous or, you know, something of a sudden type of nature, of course. But I am looking at this full moon as having some positive application, right? You know, Venus is conjunct the north node. You know, it could be the opportunity to revive something, but, you know, to take it in a new direction, you know, things that have been off go on, right? Along with this full moon as well, too, we have Mars in Aries squaring Jupiter, which is retrograde in Capricorn. So this is a forward thrust of some kind. Right after that full moon, Mercury moves into Leo, right? You know, so Mercury in Cancer, you know, it's about our insecurities and our fears and, you know, our needs and, you know, all that kind of stuff. Mercury in the Leo goes, yeah, I can do this, you know, or I deserve this, or, you know, I want this, right? So I think that the right after this full moon, there's some really compelling energy that says, yeah, I just got to do it, whatever it is, right? So with Uranus, it is an opportunity to make a breakthrough, you know, to cut to the chase, to say, you know, I've got to quit this and start that, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Yeah. Oh, gosh, yeah. And, well, Uranus will... someone said this once, and I thought it was so perfect when I was very early into my astrological journey that Uranus can... doesn't have any feelings, you know, can just be so cold. we're just gonna take care of business for you, boom, you know, and that's kind of how it works, like no warning. I mean, that really, I feel like the Uranus transit, that just occurs like a, I don't know, it can be like a rug pulled out from beneath you, but didn't see it coming kind of thing. But it's important to remember that, you know, it's really going to be in those situations if somebody's dragging their heels about something or not addressing it, or, you know, if we're not aware or awake about something that we need to be. And so, you know, I can think of a number of things that this transit could be about on, you know, bigger levels, but global levels.
I remember a friend of mine many years ago, she was having an affair, right? A note in her pocket, right? You know, and it was like, I got to get out of my relationship. I got to get out of my relationship. And then, of course, you know, the note with the telephone, the guy's name and number on it, and then the husband found it, and it was like, you know, it's like that thing of, you know, the universe setting it up so that you, so that the change happens one way or another. If you don't have the courage to do it, let the universe do it for you. You know, personally, I don't like that kind of shock, but.
Sure, he didn't either.
I'm sure, you know.
Or her.
None of them did, you know, but. You know, but that's exactly it. The universe will conspire on your behalf one way or another, whether you like it or not. Right? So for sure, you know, there's opportunity with this. The one thing is that, of course, a full moon and Uranus and so forth can be reactive. And certainly when you have that Mars in square Jupiter, it can be very willful. You know, it's assertive that kind of maybe goes too far, you know, we go from zero to, you know, from cold to super hot right in this instant, right, you know, so there's a word of caution here that, you know, it's good to take a leap, you know, it's good to, some radical change might be exactly what you need, and you need to be a risk taker, and, you know, you need to just go for it sometimes. but you know, there is a chance with Jupiter Mars to overshoot, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And certainly, you know, with this lineup of planets here from the 1st to the 4th, you know, see that Mercury-Pluto as a real shift, you know, in terms of the conceptual frame of reference, how you're perceiving something, you know, what the plans are changing, you know, the reality is changing. And if you are aware of that, you know, something's unlocking for you, you know, if you are aware of that kind of process, and you're on board with this Mercury-Pluto, by the time you get to Mercury-Saturn, you've got a result that's that can be heading you in the right direction, right?
Mm. Yes. Yes, exactly.
Yeah, so, you know, that's a good one. In actuality, the Sun-Uranus square right in between these two, like the 1st and the 3rd, the Sun-Uranus square is like the midpoint position of the Mercury transits between Pluto and Saturn, right? You know, so that Sun is in the sign of Leo, which is creative, right? You know, it's an actualization piece. It gives, you know, gives that kind of opportunity with it. So there's definitely, you know, a potential here to create some betterment for yourself or to create some success for yourself. And that success might mean pulling the plug on something, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I think the whole thing is Moon in Aquarius is some objectivity. Again, all those Capricorn pieces and so forth is like seeing the reality for what it is and what are you extracting from it and is there any more? Are you flogging a dead horse, right?
that's quite an expression. Yeah. Okay, I got to tell people because it's been a while since we've had so much kind of wild energy, you know, really. It's a good 2 weeks, you know, leading us into the next period of time. So I always have to look for the relief points and what's coming on the other side of it. And like you said, the securing itself trends that can happen. I mean, we always have to keep our eye on the whole thing. So we don't overwhelm ourselves with, you know, what could happen, what might happen. So we'll talk a little bit about some of these really favorable trends that are going to follow all that. We'll be right back.
Find out about Kristen Fontana and get your free weekly astrological forecast on her website, kristenfontana.com. Read articles written by the founder of evolutionary astrology, Jeffrey Wolf Green. Evolutionary astrology is a spiritual perspective astrology from Pluto's point of view, and what a view it is. You can even order a detailed personalized chart that tells you about your past, present, and future. You'll also discover where and when Kristen's upcoming conferences, workshops, and appearances will be on KristenFontana.com. That's KristinFontana.com. Fontana.com.
Have you ever wondered why you are here on this planet and what the point to all of this is? Evolutionary astrology is a natural science that allows for an understanding of the evolutionary journey of the soul from life to life. Evolutionary astrology provides a vehicle to understand prior life dynamics that have led to the reason and purpose for the life you live. It offers a depth of information and insights about each person that no other type of astrology can provide. As Jeffrey Wolf Green, the founder of evolutionary astrology, says,
"For those who wish to unveil the depth of who you actually are, I would highly recommend that you seek out qualified evolutionary astrologers such as Kristen Fontana and other graduated students of the School of Evolutionary Astrology. For those who are considering becoming an astrologer to make it a natural career, I'd recommend that you consider Jeffrey Wolf Green School of Evolutionary Astrology, where it will assist you in answering and your clients answering a big question. Why am I here? Thanks for listening. God bless."
Okay, you're stressed. You need a little R&R. Wouldn't going to a spa help? There's all kinds of spas too. Destination spas, medical spas, day spas, even dental and mobile spas. Where do you find the right spa at the right price? Oh no, more stress? Well, not anymore. Visit spafinders.com. At spafinders.com, you'll find everything you need to know about spas from around the world. So de-stress. Click on spafinders.com right on our homepage. Ah, I'm feeling relaxed already.
Whether you're taking a short trip or traveling across the world, Magellans.com is the world's most trusted source for travel, and they guarantee 100% satisfaction. They have everything you need to make travel just a bit more pleasurable. Who doesn't like that? They have travel alarms, clothing, the best luggage, wallets, everything you need except the ticket. Visit the advertiser page on HealthyLife.net and click on Magellans now. You will not only see their travel products, but get a free catalog and read articles with tips on how to make your travel easier. Visit the advertiser page and click on Magellans now.
HealthyLife.net, where positive overcomes negative.
All right, we are back. I'm here with Rose Marcus discussing transits for end of July, August 2020. And so, all right, where were we? Oh, I was talking about the fact that it is really important not to get too overwhelmed by the symbols. I know as an astrologer, you know, ignorance is bliss sometimes, because I have to share this. This is crazy. So last September, I was noticing this common thread in my family's chart and in people that I'm very close with. I mean, everywhere I looked was some kind of crazy Uranus transit. And I literally had a hard time breathing a few nights over it, because, I mean, I was running every chart every which way, and I'm like, oh, my God, who's going to die? Like, literally, that's what I was thinking. It was really dramatic. And then I said, okay, calm down, Kristen, you know, let's start looking for other things. What are the, because this is just my way anyway. I'm always looking for the way through or the stabilizing energy. And so there was some of that, too, within key people's charts in my family. And anyway, what happened was it was COVID. I mean, the whole thing was, you know, all these transits were occurring this past, you know, spring. And in one way or another, of course, everybody's life's been turned upside down, right?
Right.
Nobody got sick, but it's been stressful for people and disappointing, and there's been sacrifices made, and all sorts of things have been happening. Like, and who else? I mean, everybody in the world, and some people more than others, right, in these circumstances. And it's just amazing how many, I mean, I've talked to so many people in the last 4 or 5 months, you know, obviously about their situation linked with COVID, and it's in everybody's chart somewhere. But so my point for bringing this up is here, this is what I've done every day for 20 years, and I started seeing this common theme in my family's chart and people that I really love and care about, and I really just, it was gripping. And I learned a lot. I really learned a lot in that moment, because, you know, when it gets close to home, we tend to lose our objectivity a little bit, right? So anyway, of course, this Uranus transit's going to be retrograding again, and, you know, for the next year at least, we're all going to be going through this in one way or another. So it's just a little lesson for everybody. We're talking about some big transits in the next week. We're talking about this full moon. It's going to be hot in places, but there's some you know, there is some light at the end of the tunnel in this forecast month. And go ahead and talk about that Uranus station, and then we'll go from there.
So I just think that this full moon in Aquarius, it's an accelerator, you know, it's a liberation archetype, it's a reinvent the wheel archetype. And again, Aquarius, as you said, it has to do with the social collective, of course, you know, so it's got to do with all of that kind of stuff. But on a personal note, and again, these transits are going to be more important for you if they're hitting your chart directly, right? You know, otherwise you're just going to notice more action out there in the world. And certainly we've got all of these outer planets. This is a whole, it's an experience that we are all having at the same time. You're absolutely right. I'm glad you mentioned that, Kristen. But I was just going to say, with the full moon, you know, again, new moons and full moons, you know, they are cycles, right? And so we're moving from a full moon to a new moon. But in between that, just that, you know, that first few days of the month here, in the following week, on the 10th, 1 week after the full moon on the 3rd, Mercury will square Uranus. And then on the 13th, we'll have Mars and Pluto in square. And on the 15th, we'll have Uranus stationing retrograde. Now, Uranus retrograde is a cycle that happens every year. And when outer planets turn retrograde, we don't feel it quite so much like a Mercury retrograde, I think, you know, depending on what planet it is. And certainly any activity of Uranus is something that we notice, because that deviates, or, you know, it disrupts, or it, you know, breaks apart or something along that line. But I just think that what is started at this full moon right here in terms of an awakening, a realization, an opening, something put into play, will be kind of working through the ethers to that Uranus station on the 15th. That's at 10 degrees, roughly around 10 degrees. So, if it is for you a point of saying, I've got to make this personal change here, I'm not really turned on by my job anymore, or my circumstances, or I've got to find something else, to plug into, something along that line, I think that this Uranus retrograde is giving that opportunity to make that pullback. Retrogrades lift in September, as I say. Mars retrograde next month. Uranus will be retrograde till the middle of January. Mars is in Aries till the beginning of January. Chiron is retrograde in Aries till December. And all those planets, Aries is, again, an individuation archetype. It is about, moving in a new direction for yourself. Aries gives you new instincts, new impulses. This is all of a sudden I feel differently. All of a sudden I feel like I could do this or I want this instead. So all of that's going to grow. And I think that the fact that this full moon, relative to being in dynamic relationship to Uranus, and then, almost 2 weeks later, the retrograde of Uranus, I think that this is giving us enough time to acclimatize to some new undertakings, allowing some new downloads to come in. It's those ideas that come in, as Jeffrey Wolf Green always used to say, when they come in infrequently, these thoughts that keep repetitive, they're about your long-range future. But when they start coming in with more frequency, then they are talking about more short-range. And it is really interesting. These retrogrades are cutting out the fall season. And, of course, Mars retrograde, this Uranus retrograde, is arcing over the U.S. election, right? We're starting into, I think all of this is starting the campaign trajectory, right? I think that we'll see more of that in September as Mars goes to retrograde. This is like a diversion, a temporary diversion. It's a temporary time out to do something else so that we can go back to, main artery of the highway, right? Mm-hmm. So it's not really a sidetrack, but it's a temporary pattern or a temporary priority that overtakes for the next few months until we get through to the end of the year and into 2021. And I've said this in most of our other radio shows, is that COVID-19, the pandemic, on science level, it runs about 18 months to 2 years. On the astrology level, it runs about 18 months to 2 years, right? It's constantly shifting. Ceres just went retrograde in the sign of Pisces, covering the same degrees that that Mercury was retrograde back in February, March. Have another wave happening, the numbers are increasing in various places and so on. You can't let up your guard, right? And despite the fact that life is more limited, again, you are being gifted with an opportunity. Use your time, right?
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, we will say more about some of this when we get back right after the break.
Find out about Kristen Fontana and get your free weekly astrological forecast on her website, kristenfontana.com. Read articles written by the founder of evolutionary astrology, Jeffrey Wolf Green. Evolutionary astrology is a spiritual perspective astrology from Pluto's point of view, and what a view it is. You can even order a detailed personalized chart that tells you about your past, present, and future. You'll also discover where and when Kristen's upcoming conferences, workshops, and appearances will be on kristenfontana.com. That's KristinFontana.com.
If you're like the 8 out of 10 women that say finding jeans that fit is a problem,
Well, your problem is solved. Lee Jeans has done extensive research, and they have jeans that fit. There's even an online Lee Fit Finder so you can find the right fit for you. Imagine jeans that instantly slim you with a custom fit and no gap waistbands. And guys, kids, Lee has jeans for you too. Click through to Lee's Jeans on the HealthyLife.net advertiser page and get what fits.
Take one step towards spirit. Spirit will take 1,000 steps toward you. Come explore the world of evolutionary astrology with Rose Marcus. Rose Marcus is well known for her heartfelt passion, sensitive counseling skills, and dedication to helping others. You can now study evolutionary astrology from the comfort of your own home through live teleconference classes with Rose. To register for the next Evolutionary Astrology School, to read your in-depth monthly horoscope, or to book a private astrology with Rose Marcus, please visit her website, www.rosemarcus.com.
HealthyLife.net, the positive radio network.
All right, we have returned, and we've reached the final segment of the hour, and we're going to save the best for last. I was really working through all those days in my mind, and like I said, it's just kind of been a while since we've had almost a majority, I think, of the month where, you know, there's like system critical turns, you know, astrologically speaking, and of course it's, this whole year is a big year for the planet, and, you know, for our country, for your country, for all of us. So, but the, here we are, today is the 23rd of July, and I mean, I'm looking at the charts, and the real relief for me, at least with my eyes on these symbols, doesn't really come until the 17th of August. The 18th is the new moon, but we've got all these fire energies starting to align more. So the sun and the moon and Mercury will be trining Mars, and they will be in beautiful aspects to the nodal axis. So trining the south node, the new moon in Leo will trine the south node. So will Mars, it's this grand trine there, and sextiling the north node in Gemini. Mercury, which is the ruler for Gemini, is conjunct this new moon and trining that Mars. So in essence, what does that mean? That, you know, there's finally like some kind of direction, progress, movement, confidence, courage, you know, like, you know, it's really about things starting to move, which is interesting because Mars, of course, will retrograde on the 9th of September. But the other piece to this new moon, and remember, when we do have a new moon, it doesn't really, it resonates, it reverberates for until the next full moon. It's active, it's moving, and it's about our emotional reality. And it's Venus will be in the sign of Cancer, obviously, which is ruled by that moon, sextiling Uranus. So these are the most favorable aspects that we have in combination for the next cycle that Rose and I meet to discuss. So this entire next month, I would say that 17th, 18th little window are the strongest aspects we have. If you're planning things, if you're wanting to pitch something, if you're, you know, just wanting a little bit less stress in your life perhaps to take care of something, you know, these are just windows to consider. So what do you have any thoughts on that?
And getting to the end of the month, the 25th of August, Mercury trines Uranus, and on the 29th, Mercury trines Jupiter. So we're finishing the month with Mercury transits. And Mercury, you have to recognize, Mercury is a more potent influence right now because it is the ruler of one of the nodes, the karmic axis, the node, right? Yeah, or, sorry, I meant to say the north node. And so it is, and it's in the sign, and it's in the sign of Leo, by the way, from the 4th to the 19th, and then it will move into Virgo, and finishing out the month in Virgo, I think, you know, is Mercury's in its natural sign and it's productive. So I like Mercury in Leo for the confidence factor of it and the creative factor of that. And I like it in Virgo for the let's get on to task and get it accomplished. And we've got some lovely energy in the last week of the month to do exactly that. So you are right, Kristen, as you said earlier. We've got a month that is packed full of pivotal planetary transits, especially with Mars making aspect to all those Capricorn planets. So we've got a lot of checkpoints in the month ahead that are hard turns that are, busting up the concrete in some way. And so this is a month to really take advantage of the fuel in the tank of that the stars are providing. And one thing that I wanted to say about the Mars cycle is that we're going into that retrograde middle of September to middle of November. Mars is setting things up right now. When it's retrograde, it's going to be kind of on a developmental curve, and your gusto piece of it is going to be when it's direct and finishing off the cycle and moving into next year. So you want to right now use this month ahead to get the memo. I've been writing this column this month. Get the memo. You know, if the memo is being passed to you, don't crumple it up and throw it in the garbage. Pay attention to it and mm-hmm. follow instructions, please, because you want to get ahead of these transits instead of being dragged forward by them, right?
Mm-hmm. Right. I mean, so that's the work that needs to be done, and the annoying things you have to take care of right away. You know, don't pretend they're, you know, just don't check out when something crosses your desk in that way, or your life, or your footprint in some form or fashion. But so I just noticed, too, the end of the month, Venus will be, it will be trining Neptune around the 27th of August. And well, Mercury and Venus will be sextiling each other just prior to that. So, yeah, that was it the 29th, too, you said that Mercury and Jupiter would be trining each other, remembering again that those are both of the rulers for the nodal axis. So it's almost like, you know, if you can think about the 17th through the 30th of August, that's almost a two-week window about when a lot could change. And it's... I think more than anything, it's having a spirit of optimism, of hope, of feeling empowered with your choices, working with what you can, making the best of what is. I mean, our inner reality directly affects what it is that we manifest and draw to ourselves. It's what we magnetize. And so one thing about astrology that I feel is just so helpful and just a game changer is that when we, even though we see or we experience or we might be in the middle of some trends where we're feeling like, you know, we don't know what the future holds or we're feeling anxious about whatever it might be, that to look a little bit into the distance and to see so much more kind of sea-changing energy, to know that it will reflect a much better, you know, kind of more empowered, I would say, high-spirited shift, then it makes the current weeks or the current moment a little bit easier to deal with, a little bit more palatable. Pivotal was a perfect word that you used, so in order to get to that 17th, 18th time period through the end of the month. All those faster planets are going to help us immensely. And Uranus is involved, directly involved with Venus and with Mercury right now. So this is like... It forces you to ask yourself the question, what needs to change in my life right now? What is the first thing that you think of instinctually when you ask yourself that question? And knowing that it doesn't have to stay that way, and very likely it won't stay that way based on the transits that are coming. So.
Yeah, absolutely. And I was going to say, stay present, stay up to speed in the moment, and next will work itself out. It's that idea of staying hopeful for what comes next. But what I always say is that when we're in negativity, we're projecting forward and putting that negativity into the forward. And I always say, why don't you wait there to have an emotion on it, right? Because it could be anything by the time you get there.
Mm-hmm.
If you can stay up to speed with what is right in front of you, and I love that, what's the first thing? What's the first thing that comes to your mind that needs to change? Work on that. The rest of it will sort itself out.
Mm-hmm. That's a Mars and Aries thing. It's like, because Mars and Aries is about, you know, your instinct, your desire nature. And that Mars as an archetype, will access whatever it is within your soul that needs to happen without forethought. It's just your instinctual desire nature. To put it in Aries is just like lighting a match. It's setting something in motion. It's obviously the ruler for Aries, and so your instinct is really a powerful meter and map for you right now. And so that, you know, that should be the leading thing that you're taking care of and not avoiding.
Right. And, you know, another thing I'll say is that if you utilize the moment to the best of your ability, you are opening up abundance for next. You're increasing your potential for next. If you keep slamming down the moment, you just have less to work with in the next moment.
Mm-hmm. Or nothing to work with.
Or nothing to work with. Right. Absolutely.
You have to be really careful. It's just about keeping all those tributaries open. You know what I mean? It's an energy thing.
It's an energy
right?
thing.
I mean,
yeah.
If you believe in self-fulfilling prophecy, and I do, you know, it's just really about making it work for you. So I think the best advice, too, another aspect we haven't mentioned, this is a perfect way to close. Jupiter and Neptune are forming a sextile. Jupiter is retrograde in Capricorn, coming back to make a sextile to Neptune in Pisces, which is also retrograde. And Jupiter has to do with being honest with yourself and the truth of what's best. And Neptune has to do with your what holds ultimate meaning for you. It's almost like a higher expression of yourself as well, and our ability to connect with something higher through prayer, through meditation. That combination could absolutely equal some sort of healing turn for you. I mean, there could be some upheaval that becomes something really healing. Maybe there's a fear about addressing something, but it turns into something that really sets you free in some way. And so these are both outer planets that are paired up in a way that can help you take the high road, that can help you rise above where you've been, and to look really at the big picture, not so much at what's getting under your skin in the moment, but really maybe asking yourself why you're calling whatever it might be in and finding a way to resolve it. You know, there's energy there for that as well.
And let me just say one last thing as well, too. On the 1st of August, we have Mercury opposition Pluto, and at the end of August, on the 30th, we have Venus opposition Pluto. So first we have a shift of perception, and then we have a shift of how we're relating. You know, and that sounds positive to me.
Good. Yeah, throwing something off is the opposition.
Yes.
That is the benefit of the opposition, not having to live with something in a certain way and being able to evolve, because when we throw something off from the past, through the opposition, it becomes like a conjunction that Jeffrey used to teach too, right? Like this new beginning energy. When you remove the hurdle that's in the way, the obstruction that's in your path, and you address it, you confront it, becomes like a conjunction, like a new phase, a new beginning. All right. Powerful stuff, people. Well, next time we connect, Rose, we will be in the midst of those nicer trends, I think, and we'll have more to share for the end of August and September. Until next time, namaste.